Blog Talk Radio.
Brought to you by Satanic International Network. You're listening to the news.
I'm on the stage, every foul wicked spirit is the host, the news.
20 minutes, that door of A, on the news, right now.
On the news, it's gonna fucking rock. Be there.
The whole point.
To really tap into the adversarial current
necessitates a certain fortitude.
Now onto our show.
You're listening to the news outbreak. This is Jason Strell with our host here, TC Downey. TC, what's going on tonight, man?
What's up, man? Just chilling out at home, you know, getting ready to do our thing, man.
Right on. I got my little drink going, and we're hoping tonight's going to be a cool show. I know it's going to be a cool show, man. We're doing the bullshit show tonight, and tonight what we're going to be doing is we're going to be basically testing our audience's ability to detect bullshit. You know, when they hear a story, when they hear something told to them, do they know if it's true or they know it's false? And what we're going to do is TC and I are going to kick it off. The two of us are going to kind of tell some stories or what have you. But we'd like folks to call in with their stories to see if, it could be a true story or bullshit. So if you got a bullshit story, you think you can fool some people, that's cool. If you got a true story that you think nobody will believe, we want to hear that also. Basically what we're trying to do is just see, or just a little for fucking shits and giggles, just to see what kind of how in tune folks are with the truth, basically, when they hear it. So if you want to call in, the number is 347-989-1371. The way this is going to work is you folks there in the chat room are going to hear a story related by either TC or I or somebody calling in to relate their story. And then we're going to give a few minutes, and we're going to see where it goes one way or the other in the chat room. Does the majority of the chat room think it's bullshit? The majority of the chat room think it's true? And at the end of the night, we'll have, I don't know, an informal tally of the results or whatever, who knows. And we might even be able to tell somebody who has the best, ability to bullshit our listeners. So, let's see. TC, do you want to kick it off or do you want me to kick it off?
I'll let you go ahead and go, man.
Okay. I'm going to kick it off with kind of a downer story, okay? Me and my friends were hanging out, we're having some drinks and everything. One day we're out in this field, basically, out in this great big open space. And we're just hanging out, and we're just hanging out, we see some skydivers, man. We see some skydivers out there. We're checking out the show, right? And these dudes, we actually see them drop out of the plane. So they're kind of, the plane was kind of low to the ground, but they're still kind of way up there. And we see these dudes drop out of the plane. We started noticing that the chutes pop open, all right? And we noticed that one of the chutes didn't seem to open right. And the dude in the chute, you could tell he was kind of struggling with the chute because the chute was doing all kinds of crazy shit. You could see him, kind of moving it around and everything else. And one of my buddies was a skydiver, and he's like, that dude's panicking. He's going to get himself killed. And as he's saying this shit, we're watching this guy. They're falling through the sky, right? This guy's falling faster than everybody else. This guy basically rolls up into his own parachute like a fucking burrito, and just starts to drop. He's just falling. He's just that much faster. And we're just sitting there watching it happen. I mean, the guy's falling out of the sky. And we pretty much just stand there and watch the guy hit the ground. Nothing we can do.
Wow.
So, yeah, that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. So I know it's kind of a heavy way to start, and we got some other goofy shit we'll be talking about, but the folks that are in the chat room right now, we're watching the chat room, so as you hear the story, give us either, is it a true story that I just related, or am I completely full of shit? Is it bullshit? So we're going to see what the deal is here.
Okay.
I don't know if Michael Jaquin just voted bullshit or not.
Yeah, Michael Joaquin's voting bullshit, man. He started.
Unlocking voting.
Yeah, he said bullshit right at the beginning of the story. I mean, you were maybe just a little into it, and as soon as you said that the parachute wasn't opening, he said bullshit. So.
Okay. What about the other folks in the chat room? I got Michael's vote. What about the other folks that are sitting there? Bullshit, or is it the truth? Am I speaking true, or am I full of shit? So Mrs. Ghost thinks I don't have friends that skydive. All right, so I don't know who Mrs. Ghost is, but awesome. Nagashiva says false. All right. Let's see here. I think we let enough time pass here, man. It seems like the gist of the votes in the room is that it is bullshit. So let me tell the story again, maybe in a little bit different way. My friends and I were in the military in a training exercise, and we were at a fueling depot standing around, and we were watching low-altitude paratroopers dropping out of a plane. And as they dropped out of the plane, one of the guys panicked. He struggled. And one of my friends, Jeremy Poore, who already had his airborne tab, said the guy was panicking. He's going to get himself killed. And as he did, the guy wrapped himself up into a chute. He couldn't pull his second chute. And there was absolutely nothing we could do. When we said to our sergeant, shouldn't we get out there, shouldn't we do something, our sergeant said, the call's already been made, the EMTs are on the way, but the guy's basically dead. So it's an absolutely true story.
Rock and roll, man, rock and roll. That's pretty good right there. That's pretty good. I had a feeling it was a true story just because of how carefully you were trying to phrase it. But, you know, you were trying not to give the whole military inside. I now get that, but at the time I was like, wait a minute, there's something he's not saying that would give it away. So,
right, right.
It did seem a little outrageous, but yeah, outrageous is the kind of thing that happens, right?
Yeah, I think that's kind of the thing, that the more off the wall the story is, the harder it is to believe. Despite the pauses and speech, despite the hesitations, it's hard to tell the truth when you hear it. So, you got a story, PC?
Oh, I do, man, I do. When I was 17 years old, I worked for a place in Ybor City, which is a small little nightclub city, basically, within the city of Tampa. It was a place called the Ritz Theater. The Ritz Theater was just a little, dance hall that held concerts occasionally. I was fortunate enough that I was friends with one of the people who managed the security section there. And during the periods and times that they had concerts come through, they would have extras come in. Now, I was working one night, and Marilyn Manson and the Spooky Children were supposed to be playing that night. I forget who the other headliner was because it wasn't really all that interesting to me, but Marilyn Manson and the Spooky Kids were interesting to me. I'd seen them one time before. Now, we're standing there and the concert's going, and I don't know if you guys have ever seen an early Marilyn Manson concert, but he will get pretty crazy and start carving up his chest and stuff and bleeding and spitting out into the crowd and everything. I'm standing there. I'm maybe 3 feet from the guy because I'm trying to keep the crowd back from him. And I feel a couple of drips on my shoulder, and I look over, and there's blood running down my arm. At first, I'm freaking out, thinking it's my own blood, reaching through my hair, you know, checking it out, see if everything was okay. I didn't feel any pain or anything, so I'm really confused. As I turn back around to look to see what's going on, I realize that Marilyn Manson's got his pants down around his ankles, basically, and he's taking this broken glass bottle and he's carving across the very, very tender, soft spot of his stomach just above his genitals. So that was what the blood came from. True or false?
Wow.
Yeah.
All right, so true or false, folks, which is it? Did Marilyn Manson bleed on our host here, T.C. Downey? We got them going false again, man. They think we're a couple of fucking liars, man. Mike's in with the false, Miss Ghost in with the false, with the bullshit. So we'll give the other folks an opportunity to chime in. True or false? Marilyn Manson bled on T.C. Downey. Good, a few more seconds here. Yeah, we got Michael's vote false. Yeah.
Now, you guys do realize that calling bullshit every time on a story only gives you a 50% chance of being right. I would think very carefully about how I told that story before you decide. And Michael...
Mike is the resident Marilyn Manson expert.
That would be bullshit, because it was still called Marilyn Manson and the Spooky Kids, so.
So it looks like we got a guest that's just hanging out that's not voting, and Sarah Kamali's in there, and she didn't vote the last time, doesn't look like she's voting this time, so we'll go ahead and let's give it up, man. True or false, dude?
Oh, it's bullshit, man.
It's bullshit. Okay, so they called us on that.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Did you ever work at a gig like that?
Yes, actually, I did work at the Ritz Theater, and I did bounce during the Marilyn Manson and the Spooky Kids concert, and he did cut himself on stage that night and get blood on me, but he did not have his pants down around his ankles, and it was not.
So only that part of the story wasn't true. All right, man, cool. All right, so let's see here. If anybody wants to call in and share their true but unbelievable stories, or call in and try to fool our listeners, it is 347-989-1371. And for those folks who will be listening to the show during the archive, sorry, missed it. So while we're seeing if anybody else is going to call in, I guess I'll tell another story. This is, again, a story about my military days. When you're in the Army, most of the posts have a strip club on the post. Well, most of the posts, but most of the strip clubs are on posts. And oddly enough, the women who strip at these strip clubs tend to be the wives of younger officers, lieutenants, captains, like that. Kind of women, they're, you know, aboard, the ones who have been like stripping on the post. Now, these women, on a military strip club, you're not allowed to strip all the way down to, you know, nakedness. Not even nipple covers or whatever they call them. Not even those things. I can't even think of the word now. But pasties. You're not even allowed to strip down pasties. They can only strip down to a bikini. Okay? So these girls are stripped down to a bikini, but it was kind of a little thrill for us enlisted soldiers to go see these women, knowing that their husbands completely outranked us and their wives were dancing for our entertainment. So anyways, we decide we're going to go to a club one night. There was, you know, there were three married guys and the people I hung out with. We had three married guys and one single guy. And usually we had some hangers on. The core crew was, you know, these three married guys, Jeremy, Drew, and Mike, and myself. And then there was occasionally some other hangers on. And the deal was, is we're going to the strip club. We're on a training post, and there was a strip club in Gravenbeer. We're going to the strip club, and then Jeremy and I decided what we're going to do is we're going to try to get one of these girls to show us her tits. Okay, not so much because we hadn't seen tits before, but because it's an interesting psychological experiment. When we were drunk, anyway, so it's not a good idea. So what we were going to do, the way it was going to work, is we knew there would only be three or four girls. And of these three or four girls, you know, they're going to do two or three sets over the night, and that was going to be it. So what we would do is we'd watch all the girls cycle through their first set. And we would decide amongst ourselves which one is the most attractive. I got a little private message here, so I'm kind of thrown off. When we get there, what we do is we get seats right up front, okay? So the six of us, there's a couple of hangers on, like I said. The six of us are sitting right up front watching these girls come out. And we watch the girls cycle through, and we pick the one that we think is the most attractive. So the next phase in the plan was, as these girls cycle through their sets, we're going to go nuts for the two lesser attractive girls. We're going to completely act like we normally would, just go nuts for these other lesser girls. But the most attractive girl, we're going to ignore. We're not going to applaud. We're not going to hoop. We're not going to pay her a buck. We're not going to, you know, have her do anything. We're going to completely ignore her ass. We're going to talk amongst ourselves. At one point, we even kind of laughed at her, okay? So she's doing her sets. In the first set, she came through, we just kind of graded her. The second set she comes through, we're ignoring her ass. She sees us ignoring her ass, and it bothers her, man. You can see on her face that it bothers her, okay? Go through the cycling again. The other two girls come out. We go crazy for them. We know she's backstage. We know she hears us and everything else. We go crazy for the other two girls. She comes out for our third set, and she's working it, man. She's right in our faces, shaking her tits, shaking her ass, trying to get us to go ahead and cheer for her. And the DJ's freaking out even. The DJ's like, what the fuck's going on? You know, come on, give it up for this chick, right? So she goes through, you know, it's her final set for the night. We watch the other two girls go through, and he goes, okay, is the last set for her? And I don't remember what this chick's name, and it wasn't a real name anyway. She's a stripper. You know, she's not a human being. She's a stripper. But anyways, she goes through, and, you know, here you give it up for this chick. So when she comes out this time, with military uniforms, you have a BDU top and a T-shirt underneath. BDU top is basically a button-up top. When she comes through this time, we've unbuttoned our BDU tops, and we're, like, flashing our pecs. Just, you know, T-shirt's still on, but we're flashing the pectoral part of our T-shirt, indicating what it is we want from her, okay? So she's coming out there. She's determined to get our attention. She sees what we're doing. We're lifting up our shirt. We're flashing our pec and everything else. She turns to the DJ. The DJ's on the stage behind her, and she has her back to us. She messes with her bikini top. The DJ points out to her, and you can see him mouth the words, "Your boob." She turns around, and she's got a tit out, and she's shaking it and spinning it, and we go nuts. So we got what we wanted. She got what she wanted, and that's my story. Is it bullshit, or is it the truth?
All right, I'm waiting to see what the tally is. That one was a pretty good one, man. I don't know.
There's a lot of details. When you lie, you put in a lot of details.
Yeah, that's what they say.
Where are the votes? Oh, yeah, that's right. There's a delay. Let's see here.
Yeah, it should be coming.
Yeah, wait on the votes.
They're really thinking twice, man.
Yeah, really? I was pretty drunk. Maybe I think it's true, but it's not. Maybe. I don't know. Mike, it looks like he's about to drop a vote.
Survey says?
While we're waiting on your vote, the number to call in is 347-989-1371. If you'd like to call in now, 347-989-1371. Okay, Michael says it's false.
Right, but then he uses the logic that it's because your last one was true. Now, what's interesting to me about that is this is really poor poker playing logic right there. it really is. I mean, the obvious thing here would be the double negative, right? Meaning that if the first one was true, the second one would have to be true, too.
Oh, we got another BS vote. We got another bullshit vote. Wow.
Yes.
Like I said, I think we're liars.
Yeah, they do. They certainly do.
So, Nagashima just sitting there, his little icon's on snooze.
Yeah,
so we'll give it a few more seconds.
He took it away from the keyboard, so the chances are that he probably didn't even catch it.
Okay, so we should just go with our two votes then. And we got Michael calling in, I think, too. So let's go ahead and go with the votes. It is a true damn story. That shit really went down in Graf of Ear, Germany. We actually got one of these officers' wives to show us her tit with a little bit of applied psychology. It is a true story.
Yep. And, you know, that's pretty good because even I called bullshit on it, so.
It shouldn't have gone down the way it did, but we did get her to show us her tit. So let me bring Michael on the line here. All right, so hang on a second. Okay. Mike, you on the line, man?
So how's it going, guys? You all right?
Going all right, cool. So you got a little story you want to tell our listeners?
Yeah. The first thing I was going to say is, fuck, man, that last one was... You know what I mean? I was thinking, like, you said the truth last time. You're not going to do the truth twice, are you? This is a bullshit conversation. Fucking with my mind, Jason. I don't like it. But no, it's good. All right. I'm just trying to think which one, because I've got two which I could use. All right, I'll go with this one, all right? So when I was 19 years old, I had this thing that I wanted to be in a movie, right? And a friend of mine used to, he was a model and also an actor. He used to work for a company called Little Red Dog, who were like a modelling company in London. And they also do like extra work and stuff like that. So he was like, you should come down, you know what I mean? Like, you're a good looking guy, blah, 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 blah. You'll get fucking something. So I go down to audition for this fucking movie called Wimbledon, which is like a fucking tennis movie or something like that. So I'm in there and I audition and everything like that. And it's just supposed to be like an extra part. So I'm just chatting with some people. I end up chatting to this American chick. And she's just like, wouldn't you like a speaking part? Like a really short speaking part? And I was like, yeah, fuck yeah, that shit would be cool. So I have a chat, blah, 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 blah. I meet the director, who's like this short little American guy. And he was like, yeah, for sure, you can do it. And there was this scene where all these guys were just like in this locker room, blah, 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 chatting. And my thing was going to be like I had a line in that little section. So we were just chatting, going backwards and forwards about it all. They were like, yeah, we're going to have a little think about it, let you know tomorrow. So next day I wait for the phone call. They said, yeah, I can do it. So on the way down there, I'm driving down. My fucking car breaks down. So I wasn't in the fucking movie. But if it wasn't for my car breaking down, I would have been in the motherfucking film. So my question for you, is it bullshit? Or did that shit actually go down, Jason Sorrell and TC? Did that shit go down? Or am I just chatting out of my arsehole?
Now, this isn't just us. It's the folks in the chat room, too, which we're down to, unfortunately, just the three folks there. But, you know what? I'm going to say it's a true damn story. I think you're telling the truth, man.
Okay.
I'm calling bullshit. It seemed like he had to pause a little too much to think of how the next part of the story went. So, I'll say bullshit.
Okay. Do you want to know?
Well, let's see what Nagashima says, and let's see what Abster Kamali says.
Okay.
Give him a moment. Right now, you're 50-50. One person says you're full of shit, and one person says it's the truth. It's a true damn thing.
Hmm.
So, okay, Nagashima's in with the true. Abster Kamali's in with the true. So, it looks like we're leaning true, man. What's the deal? Is it a true or false story, dude?
It is 110% bullshit.
All right. So, viewers has failed. The audience and the host have failed three times tonight to our one pass, man. Very cool. So,
thanks for
participating, dude.
No worries. You take care, guys.
Did you actually have any connection at all with the Wimbledon movie?
No, nothing. Nothing at all.
No, not whatsoever.
Absolutely nothing.
Okay. Right on, man. Right on. Thanks for calling in.
No worries, buddy. Take care.
Thanks. Yeah, go ahead, dude.
Oh, I was going to say, you talking for yourself there, man.
Now, if you guys want to call in, the number is 347-989-1371. And we got Wicked Pup on the line. Wicked Pup, for you that didn't know what's going on, we're playing the bullshit game tonight. We're testing how well our audience is able to detect bullshit or detect the truth. Right now, I told two true stories. TC has told one false story. And Michael just chimed in with a false story. And we are three fails to one pass. We were only able to detect the truth once. So very cool. If you want to call in with a story, either it's a total bullshit or something just unbelievable, call in at 347-989-1371. TC, you got another story, man?
Yeah, actually, basically, just a couple weeks after that Marilyn Manson, I'm back up in Ybor City, but this time I'm not actually working. There's a little record store called something like the Blue Chair. I can't quite remember. You could go in there and find all kinds of used and brand new records and cassette tapes. And there weren't any CDs at that point in time yet. So that was pretty much what you were limited to. I was in there and I was digging through this box of like classic rock. If I remember right, I was looking for the Zoso album for Led Zeppelin. I wanted to get it on LP if I could find it. So I was digging through this, and this dude standing next to me starts digging through the box. And I didn't really pay much attention because it's Ybor City, whatever. But the guy starts talking to me about the albums I'm looking at and talking about which songs on it he likes and whatever. And I start talking back to him. And we're shooting this shit. And we got a lot of things in common in terms of what kind of music we like. So I'm starting to head out the door because I couldn't find what I was looking for while he was at the cash register paying. And as I get out the door, he gets right up behind me and he says, "Hey, man, do you know where I could get some smoke? I'm from out of town." And I turned and I looked at him and I was like, "Smoke? You mean like smoke?" And I did the little, you know, pinch your fingers together okay sign to signify the joint kind of smoke over my mouth. And he's like, "Yeah, that's what I'm talking about." I'm like, "Well, I'm just parked, you know, back in this alley over here, and I happen to have a big blunt rolled in my car." So we get back over to my car, and we're sitting there, you know, blazing up, smoking this blunt, and I've got Pantera playing on this CD player. And as it's playing, and we're smoking, this guy sitting next to me starts singing. Now, I didn't really recognize him at all up until this point, but when he started singing, I'm listening to his voice and going, "Holy shit, this dude sounds just like the ensemble." So I tell him that, and he kind of chuckles, and he looks at me, and he smiles, and he takes this beanie off of his head, which had been, you know, pretty much camouflaging most of his features up until that point, and as he's peeling it off, on the back of his neck, I recognize a tattoo. And I look at him again real good, and I'm like, "Holy shit, I just smoked a joint with Phil Anselmo from Pantera." we finished this joint, and he gets out of the car. He says, "You know, we're playing at the Ritz tomorrow night." I said, "Yeah, I know, I'm working the show." He said, "All right, I'll see you then." We never did actually hook up at the show, but that's my story.
You know what? I'm going to say true. Let's see what our chat room says. Apsara Kamali, Michael, Orca, whatever, Wicked Pup. TC just told a story. It's up to you folks to determine whether or not he's full of shit, whether it's bullshit, or whether it's a true story. Did TC spark up with the lead singer from Pantera in a car in an alley behind some record store? I'm going to say it's true. I know of people who have experienced similar things. You know, rock and roll stars, man, they're real dudes. They're just like anybody else. So what do you think? What do you guys think? Okay, We got Michael saying true. I don't know if Wicked Pup's saying true or not. He says he's had shit like that happen, but he's not saying whether or not it's true that it happened to you. So let's see here.
Yeah, actually, he already voted true. If you look just like three lines above that, you see where
he's... Oh, okay, he's saying true. Right on.
Right on.
Orca saying true. Sarah Kamala saying false. And other than our guests that rolled in, I think that's all the votes. My vote was true. So it looks like the majority of us are going with true, man. Is it a true story or not?
Yeah, it's absolutely 100% true.
All right. That is cool, man.
Yeah,
so, what's that?
Oh, I was going to say it was one of the highlights of my life, man. It was definitely cool.
That is fucking cool. That's badass. So right now we are two pass and three fail, okay? So we're almost at 50% on the whole being able to detect the truth or not. If you folks want to call in with your stories, the number is 347-989-1371. And if we don't get any callers here, I guess we'll keep going back and forth between the two of us. I got a story that has to deal with music. Back again when I was in Germany, there's this band called Sick of It All. This band's from Queens, New York, and really got into it. They play, you know, hardcore is what the type of music's called, I guess. Same sort of music like Black Flag and Minor Threat and things like that. Sick of All, you know, just badass music, just really, really hard, really, really heavy, really, really digging, really got into it when I was in Europe. So anyways, my friend Jeremy, he was a really big Sick of It All fan. He's probably the guy that really turned me on to it. He's leaving for the States. He's done in Germany, and he's done with the tour, and he's going home. And the big deal for him was that the month he was getting back to Utah, he was under the impression that Sick of It All was going to be playing in Utah. Okay? So he's all rubbing it in my face and everything else that he's going to get to see Sick of It All in Utah, and I was going to miss out. All right? So he leaves, and I find out, like, not even a week after he had left, that Sick of It All was actually in Europe. And I had an opportunity to go see them in Dusseldorf. All right, so I make the trip to Dusseldorf. It was like a 2-hour drive, 3-hour drive from where I was at in Frankfurt. It was a long fucking drive. I don't know exactly how long it was. Don't hold me to that. But anyways, I get down there for the show. Well, I get down there early to buy some tickets, and I get told that they're sold out of tickets, all right? But if I showed up, I asked if there was going to be like a guest list or whatever. And the guy that was, you know, the guy that was managing the place where they're doing the show, he's like, yeah, sure, man, there'd be a guest list, but it's just going to be, you know, guests of the band or whatever. And I was like, well, you know, I'll see if I can get on the guest list, then I'll be here for that. So I have no idea what time the band's rolling in. I don't know what time the day of the show comes along, I don't know what time the band's going to get there. So I get there at the butt crack of fucking dawn, man. I drive through the night to be there in the morning to see this band, okay? And, you know, I like the band, but I'm not like a huge fucking fan of the band. But it was just like a big deal. The idea that they were already sold out and I was going to miss this concert, miss this opportunity to see the show. So I get down there and I'm hanging out. And I actually have breakfast at the place that they're going to be doing the show at. It's this auditorium, but there's like a little restaurant attached to it. And I'm hanging out, waiting for this band to show up. And I get told that they're sold out of tickets. All right, again, they're sold out of tickets. And they don't know if they're going to be able to do anything for me. So I'm there all day waiting on the band, and they show up probably around lunchtime, around noon. At least these people carrying in equipment show up, okay? So they roll the equipment in and everything else, and I'm kind of, you know, trying to figure out who I need to talk to about getting on some guest list or whatever, because they have no tickets, and I really want to see the show, and I'm a fucking American, I deserve this shit or something, I don't know. So I go to one of the guys who's a roadie, he's moving equipment in, okay? And I'm talking to the dude. I let him know what's going on. I'm like, hey, man, I want to know if there's a guest list that I could get in to see the show. And this roadie goes, well, there's no guest list, but you should still be able to buy a ticket. And I go, no, man, they're out of tickets and everything else. The dude said they're sold out. So this guy puts down whatever he's carrying or whatever he's wheeling in, he stops wheeling in. He goes to the tour manager. This huge crowd, man, this great big German dude, bigger than me, he's bigger than the fucking life, right? He's huge. And he says to the guy, hey, man, they're saying they're sold out already and this guy can't get a ticket, okay? This crowd, man, he goes over to the guy he's like the manager of the club or whatever. He's like, wants to know what the deal is about these sold out tickets. Well, the deal ended up being that the guy who owns the club, his kid is a big Sick of It All fan, and his kid told his entire high school that they could be there for this show. So they were holding all the tickets until the high school kids showed up, all right? And the crowd let him know that wasn't going to fucking play, and that just wasn't going to go down, right? So the crowd goes, you know, this guy, the tour manager, he comes up to me and goes, look, man, I'm really sorry about all this going down and everything. He's speaking to me in German, so it's really kind of rough, the translation, but he goes, I talked to the guys in the band, and they said it'd be cool if you just were their guests. Here's the show. So, you know, here's a free ticket so that you have the ticket as a keepsake, but don't worry about it. You're not paying for it or anything. You get to hang out. So I'm like, cool, I get to hang out. You know, I'm gonna be at the show. And I go up to the roadie and I say, hey man, thanks for letting the guy know that I was, you know, that what was going down. He's like, yeah, no problem, man, we'll just catch you later. So I'm waiting around, kinda hanging out, and they're getting most of the shit loaded in. And the roadie comes up to me with these other guys, all right? He's like, hey, man, it's really cool to meet somebody from the States and everything else, to see somebody from the States here at the show and everything. Do you know where we can get something to eat here? in Dusseldorf, right? And I'm looking at this roadie, and I'm like, this dude looks fucking familiar. Yeah. The roadie that I was dealing with wasn't the roadie at all. He's the lead singer. It was the lead singer, Lou, and I'm trying to remember his last name, Lou Kohler. He's the lead singer, and he had grown a beard. I hadn't seen him with a beard or anything. He grew a beard. I didn't know I was talking to this roadie. So Lou Kohler, the lead singer of Sick of All, gets me into the show. I hang out backstage while they're doing the doing sound check. I take him out to the local eateries and everything else. I do the little translation for him and everything. I hung out all day with Sick of It All, and it was kind of, you know, it was just cool, but it was kind of, you know, shitty. I was a little bit embarrassed that I didn't recognize Lou when he was the one helping me out. So that's my story. Is it a true damn story, or is it bullshit?
It seems like it's inevitably getting harder with you, man. I'm going to have to go on my gut, though, and say bullshit.
Right on. Okay. True damn story or bullshit? Mike says it's bullshit. Let's see here.
Lexi says false.
Now, I'm wondering, does anybody know who Sick of It All is? I know Sick of All, I don't know if they're how, you know, into hardcore music folks are. I don't know if it's a really obscure band or not. They're a big deal to me. Sick of It All is kind of a big deal to me, but, you know, they're not exactly your fucking top 20, you know, shows. Wicked Puff says true. Oh, Wicked Puff says false. All right, so we're waiting on Lehi, if he's listening. Entropic Momentum, if you would put in your vote.
Lehi is probably busy molesting World of Warcraft, man.
Okay. First of all, before we go any further, do you know who Sick of It All is, dude? Have you ever heard any of their music?
Yes,
New York
I have.
Hardcore?
Yes, I have heard their music.
Okay. Okay, Wikipup says he hasn't heard of them. Okay, so you've heard their music. I don't know if anybody else has heard their music, but I just put a link in the chat room there. So if you folks click on that link, it will take you to a web page on my Jason Sorrell website, and you will see a very young Jason Sorrell with the band Sick of It All flipping you folks off. So it is a true story. All that actually went down.
That's awesome, man. That's awesome. And the funny part was, I was just on that page earlier, but, you know, just the fact that there was a picture and so much coincidence there made me think you'd try to push some kind of bullshit with it.
No, it all went down exactly the way I told it. I was kind of shitty, actually, when I was told the tickets were sold out, because it was something I really wanted to see, and I thought it was kind of fucked up. That, you know, I couldn't get into the show, even though being a, you know, a fan and everything. So, kind of cool. So we got it up. We got another call. Let me go ahead and ring call on the line. Hang on a second here. All right, Michael, you're back on the line, brother. What's going on?
That was fucking good. You know that. Oh man, you're too good at this. All right. So I was thinking, I need to, because so far, I've got 100% success rate with my bullshit. So I'm thinking that this one, if I pass this one, it means I'm a good bullshitter, obviously.
Right on.
Well, it's only it's more like 99%. I called you on that last one, man.
Yeah, that is true,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, you did call you on that one.
Right majority on. Wins, you know, majority win. I think. Okay, so. Okay, I've got one for you. All right, so being a very free-spirited individual, I used to every now and then partake with ecstasy and stuff like that. It's quite big here in London. A lot of people do ecstasy. It's not a big deal kind of thing. So this one night I'm at this fucking house party and I'm pilled out of my face. And so this guy who's a friend of a friend, I went with my girlfriend and this guy had gone with his girlfriend. And we were all just sitting around chatting, all just feeling brilliant because we're on fucking E and everything. And one of these chicks, one of our girlfriends, it wasn't mine, it was the other chick, was like, why don't you two guys get it on? And then we'll get it on and we can basically all have a bit of a love fest. But like, you two guys have to kind of go first. So, so me and this guy, everybody strips off and we all just have this intense fucking E-fueled fuckfest. What do you think? True or not true?
I'm going to call bullshit.
Yeah, I'm going the opposite direction, Jason. That's 100% true.
I'm just waiting to see what people are saying in the chat.
We got Orca, it's Love Fest, love it. I think she's saying true then. And Trovo Comenon said I would have done it. So, must be true. No, Orca saying false, Wickpup saying false. You got three falses, you got one true, two trues. Waiting on Apsara Kamali. Waiting on that vote. Unless she's asleep. She's probably asleep. So we got, what did we end up with? False, false, my false, TC's true, and Entropic Momentum's true. So three falses and two trues. What's the deal, dude?
Oh, we've got another vote in as well. Apsara Kamali is saying it's false.
She's false, it's four false.
Okay.
It's true?
It is absolutely 110% true.
Wow. Awesome.
Yeah. There you go.
All right. So we suck. Yeah. But awesome, man. Very cool. So a little bit of X and all the world's right. That sounds badass.
That's what I'm saying. Live like a rock star. All right.
All right, cool, man.
I'll leave you guys.
Yeah, thanks for the story, dude.
No worries, man. In a bit.
All right. Crazy. Okay, so we got about 17 minutes left. So if you've got a crazy story that you don't think anybody will believe, or you have the most fantastic storytelling ability, and you think you can convince us of any fucking thing, call us in at 347-989-1371 so we can hear your vote. Very cool. We got some more people joining the show just at the last minute. See if we can tell if you hear a story, if you can tell if it's bullshit or if it's true. And TC, I don't think we got another caller. So do you got another story lined up, man?
Let me see. Yeah, actually I do. When I was about 19 years of age, I was going to college at a place called St. Petersburg College here in the Tampa, Florida area. The summer prior to me starting school, I had worked two jobs and saved a bunch of money to buy this car that I really, really wanted. It was a 1980, I believe it was an 84 Dodge Charger 2.2. But what was special about this was that the head mechanic of a place called the Sunshine Speedway here had tuned this car up and done some tricked out modifications to it. Now, I know a little bit about cars, but the stuff this guy did to this car, I don't even know what it all was. When he explained it to me, it was like he was speaking Japanese. But anyway, this car was awesome. I mean, 160 miles an hour easily before I even shift into fifth gear. I'd never even tried to push it beyond that. What's fucked up, and the reason I mentioned I was going to college, is I was driving down the street between two campuses, which were roughly about 15 miles apart, because of course my luck is that they don't offer all the classes that I want to take at one campus, so I have to go between three different campuses to take the classes that I need to take to get my degree and whatever. So I'm cruising along, and I'm excited because this day, after I'm done with this class, I'm going to go take this last $100, which was all rolled change that I had saved over the summer, and make my last payment on this car. So as I'm going between campuses, on my way right after to make the last payment, I kid you not, out of nowhere, an old man in a gold Lexus decides to floor it and T-bones me, sending me spinning about a quarter mile and hospitalizing me for a day and putting me on bed rest for 3 months after that.
Man. I'm going to call true, man. What do you folks think? PC's on his way. He's a college student. He's got this badass car. He's got his last payment he's got to make, and some old bastard T-boned him. Is that a true story or is that bullshit?
It was a awesome car, man. I mean, never seen nothing like it.
So Tim's hardcore says false 5 years. Looks like we got a bunch of falses. All right, I think that's everybody. I don't know if Michael's voted or not. How many headlights did it have? Oh, you want to know more about what the car looked like, dude? What did the car look like, man?
The car was black. It had a black sports bra that went across the front of it. The headlights that were in it came up out of it when you turn the car's lights on. The back window was a hatchback, and it had louvers going down across it. The car had been customized to be a T-top. So not only would it go fast and look cool, but you know, you could actually feel the breeze going through your hair.
You know what? I'm the only one that says true, dude. Everybody else says false. What's the deal?
Jason, you're the only one who's absolutely correct. That's 100% true, bro.
True story. That's got to suck. Now, what?
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah, that did suck, man. This car was just fucking awesome. I don't know what the guy did to it. I really don't. All I know is that it was fast as hell. Matter of fact, my mother's whole deal with it, she would give me little keychains and stuff that said, you know, your guardian angel is with you, and you know, she would like pray for me when I left every day. And so,
all
yeah.
Right. Oh, App Sarah said true too. So she and I both said it was true. Still, we have to go with the majority of the votes. So the Ooze listeners and the Ooze hosts are sucking ass. So far, it's 5-3. We've been able to detect the truth 3 times. 5 times, we were dead wrong. So let's see here. The call-in number, 347-989-1371. If you want to call in, we got about 12 minutes remaining, so we might be able to get one or two more stories in. Call us in if you got a story that you don't think anybody's going to believe, or if you got the gift of gab, the silver tongue that you can convince anybody of anything. Give us a call and share your story. We'll be happy to go ahead and see if our listeners can detect the bullshit or if they know the truth when they see it. So, trying to think of another story. Back when I was in college, we had this Halloween party. First of all, my friends and I, we maintained the party house on Kenwood Drive in Fort Wayne, Indiana. It was my aunt's house, and I was getting the house for like $300 a month. So the rent was ridiculously cheap. But then my roommates would pay me $200 each to stay in their room. Each of them, there was a 4-bedroom house, and each of us had a room. And usually we had different girlfriends running in and out or whatever. And there's different roommates at different times. But anyways, in 1998, we decided to have a Halloween party. And we were going to make it the mother of all fucking Halloween parties. And what we did was we told everybody that they had to invite somebody else. But then that other person also had to invite somebody else. So it wasn't just you and your girlfriend showing up, but you and your girlfriend and somebody else showing up. So we ended up with almost 100 people in this house. It was just ridiculous. And all kinds of alcohol, all kinds of shit going on. The real fucked up shit that was going on, though, was that one of our friends, Sean, had this girlfriend, Nikki, okay? This chick, man, was so hung up on Sean's nuts that any attention Sean paid to anyone else or anything else, guy, girl, video game, card game, car, anything, she lost her shit. She could only handle it for about 5 or 10 minutes, and then all of a sudden she'd have to be the center of his fucking world again. Okay, this chick was mental, all right? Sean, usually when he'd come hang out, he would have to come hang out while she was at work, because otherwise he had to bring her, and it just brought everybody fucking down, okay? Well, this big Halloween party is going down and everything else, and she's going to be there. So we kind of knew what the score was going to be, but he shows up, and everybody's getting drunk, and we kind of thought, you know what? We could get them both doing their own fucking thing. That way Sean catches a break, okay? Well, that just made things worse, right? Because all of a sudden she starts running. Every time some guy talks to her, every time that Sean's in a different room, she comes running and complaining about how some dude was trying to touch her or some dude was trying to get with her or whatever. Now, the first time, we took it pretty seriously, right? But after the fifth or sixth guy had been, you know, blamed for trying to molest this girl, we just knew what the deal was. And Sean got a little shitty with her and told her, you know, look, fuck off. He's trying to have a good time. We kept all the alcohol downstairs because not everybody at this party was of age, all right? So we kept all the alcohol downstairs in the basement. That's where all the drinking was going on. So as we're downstairs in the basement, we hear upstairs this down the steps upstairs from the second floor to the first floor. So we all run upstairs to see what the hell is going on. And it's Sean's girl, Nikki, and she's, you know, freaking out and crying. And we're like, what the hell is going on? She says, I threw myself down the stairs because you don't love me anymore. And we're like, Sean, you got to get your girl under control, right? She starts to climb back up the stairs to throw herself down the stairs again. I'm like, no, you're not doing that shit in this house. You're not going to do this shit in this house. She's like, fuck it, I'll throw myself in the river. We happen to live like a block from this river, okay? And, you know, we're like, okay, that's bullshit. Everything. Sean's just tired of it. Sean says, you know what, fuck it. Fuck you. Go do whatever you're going to do. I'm not fucking dealing with your ass. Okay? So she rolls out the door, man. She's got, you know, she's drunk. She's got a little head of steam on her, and she's gone. We all go back to drinking and doing whatever. 45 minutes later, dude, she shows back up at the door. She's soaking wet. She had actually thrown herself into the river. Okay, I don't know if she jumped off a bridge or she jumped off from the bank or what, but she had been in the fucking river. This chick was that fucking crazy. True or false? Is it bullshit or is it a true damn story?
All right, I want to see what the tallies are. I've got to think about this for a minute, man. I think you left a couple of purposeful indicators as to what the story was true or not. I'm just trying to figure out which ones they were.
The Wicked Pups say true. And Tropic Momentum says true. Dance straight chicks are nutty. Okay, well, Lehigh, you need to call in then, man. If you got a story, call in 347-989-1371. We'll be waiting for your call. We got about 7 minutes left.
All right, so
Ward says true, Michael says true.
Looks like true is
the way we're leaning.
Let me see if I got this right. The same day this chick throws herself down the stairs, she also then goes and throws herself into the river?
The same evening, the same alcohol-fueled, fucking crazy chick angst evening, she's thrown herself down the set of stairs and then throws herself into a river, yes.
Bullshit.
Okay. It is a true story.
Bye.
This chick Nikki was fucking, it was a short flight of stairs, 10, 11 steps. They were carpeted steps. So, you know, she jumps down 3 or 4 steps and then kicks her feet out from under. I don't know how she fucking fell down the steps. All I know, we heard it. And then she shows up back from the river, soaking fucking wet and smelling of ass. So, yeah, man, she was just a nut, man. Crazy people, they have powers, dude. There's people like, they're like, how'd that happen? Yeah, crazy people have powers. So let's see if, all right, we got Lehigh calling in. We got Entropic Momentum calling in. Let me go ahead and bring him on. 512 area code, if this is Lehigh, you are on the ooze, man. What's on your brain?
This is Lehigh.
Right on, Lehigh. What's going on, man?
All right. I got a story. I was in high school at the time, and my friend, he was staying at his grandma's house because she was out of town. So we were just hanging out in the backyard, smoking or whatever. And his brother's father-in-law, not father, his brother's father, he had left his car in the garage, right? And it's this 65 Mustang convertible with red leather interior, and it was really, really nice. And we kept talking about how cool it would be to take it out. Like, nah, there's no way. And I'm like, well, wait a second. Let's check under the mat in the car and see if the key is there. And he's like, oh, I don't know. I doubt it'd be there. It'd be stupid if he left it there. But we went, and we didn't have anything better to do, so we went and checked it out anyway. And indeed, there was a key there. So we took that car out, and we drove all around the place, and we went down to this town called Spanish Fork in Utah. And, you know, we went drinking a little bit, you know, drinking, driving, crazy, bad stuff. But, you know, almost getting to a wreck. But anyway, we were driving, and there was a cop that flipped a 360 just to follow us. And we're like, oh, man, we're going to juvie. There's no way we're getting out of this. But we were obeying the speed limit. And so the cop eventually couldn't follow us anymore because of the law. So we got away with that. It was a lot of fun. And that's the story.
That's the story. So true or false, did Lehigh, the juvenile delinquent, steal a car, go to Utah to do a little drinking, and almost get busted by the cops? I'm going to say true.
That's a real tough one. See, on the one hand, he said, about, I don't know, five or six times in the start of the story, trying to get the facts together and straight. And then after that, you know, he had a little difficulty deciding whether it was it the father or something like that. He kind of stumbled up there on that. But I don't know. Overall, I guess I'm going to have to say I believe it. I think it's true.
So we got two truths, two false. Let's see what we get from the chat room.
Yeah, I actually meant 180, by the way. So.
Yeah, yeah. They're gonna try to burn you on the technical shit. Yeah. Tim says false. Sarah Kamali says true. I think that's all the votes. It looks like TC and I said true. And then, yeah, Michael says that drinking and driving is fun, but in Utah, dude, it's like half the actual volume of alcohol than it is anywhere else in the country. So they're actually
Utah,
cool on drinking and driving.
Yeah, they have a law called Not a Drop, where if you're a minor, you can't have any, if you do, let's say, breathalyze you or whatever, there can't be any amount of alcohol in you. Like, I've heard of people being busted for, like, less than 0.01. I mean, like, you can have, like, a drop, and, like, literally not a drop. So, yeah. But the story is true.
It is a true story. So there you go. So that was one, two, three. That was three truths and three false. So we're going to have to give a point either way. Very cool, man. So, kind of crazy. What type of car was it again?
What?
What type of car was it again? 65
Mustang convertible.
That sounds badass. That would be worth it.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
So cool, man. Well, thanks for calling in.
Yeah.
We got about 1 minute remaining. Thanks, man.
Hey, bye.
Later.
All right,
we got about 1 minute remaining. I've reached my limit on these stories and everything else. I got nothing else. So, anything you want to talk about the last minute?
That's a tough thing there, man. Well, no, not really. I don't think there is.
The only thing I really got going on is I've been invited to participate in the Art Erotica 20th, I don't know how many years it's been, an erotic art show here in Austin, Texas. It's a kind of a big deal. They're doing it at the Seaholm Power Plant. If you want to Google the Seaholm Power Plant and see this place, it's amazing. So very cool. I'm going to be engaged in this art show and everything, and it's for a local charity, and it'll start to get my name out there in the real world, not just on the internet. So kind of very cool that start to develop my local celebrity, if you will. So that'll be on the 26th, kind of a big deal for me.
Rock and roll, man. And then I noticed you got this eye for individual thing going, man. I think that's pretty interesting.
Yeah, the this is the I decided to bring all the little shit that I do all over the internet together, and kind of into one place so that anybody that's playing the Jason Sorrell home game can follow along and everything and stalk me or whatever it is they're gonna do. So I'm gonna put the link to that in the chat room here. There's that. Oh yeah, you'll have to copy paste that fucking thing, I guess. But anyways, yeah. So this was fun. But I don't think we can do it for 2 hours. So
yeah,
it looks like we're out of time.
Right on, man.
Right All right, on. Man, cool. Thanks for playing, guys. Check out Muse next week. Later.
People are eating trash chemicals all the time.